Emmanuel. And of course, that references so much scripture in there, but a key one when we think of Emmanuel, we think of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And there we see, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That was the promise that God in the flesh was coming. As it's laid out, and as the angel spoke to Joseph and especially to Mary, he lays this out and he says, this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And there we have the explicit translation, Emmanuel, which being translated is God with us. We have God come to earth. I've titled this Expecting Emmanuel, because that's what O come Emmanuel, it's all about the expectation thereof. Oftentimes that's sung before Christmas. That's a great Advent hymn as people are preparing their hearts and looking towards the Christmas season, looking towards the time when Christ came. This is really a hymn of anticipation and preparation for Christmas and for the coming Messiah. But O come Emmanuel has a longer history probably than almost any hymn in our hymnal. If you look at the hymnal, what it says it's from a Latin hymn of the 12th century and the music by Thomas Helmore, and that's really only part of the story. That it has its origin almost in the beginning of Christianity. That Denny talked about the seven verses to this song with the names of Christ, and they have their origins in the seven O's or the great antiphons. These were kind of back, if you think of monasteries, you think of the Catholic Church, very old singing, kind of that, oh, that type of thing. Those were antiphons, prayers kind of sung in a tune that's almost mournful to our ears today, but these were prayers sung to God. And the great antiphons, these were written, they were in place at least by the 6th century AD, so incredibly ancient. They drew from themes from the very, very early church. And in these seven, as Denny mentioned, they are each a prayer invoking Christ by one of the names or descriptions, the titles given of him by Scripture. These were always sung in the last days of Advent, the 17th through the 23rd of December, leading up to Christmas. One of these would be sung each day in preparation, in focusing on Christ in a specific aspect of himself, an aspect of his coming to prepare hearts and minds for that. So I'm going to read through the seven antiphons and look a little bit at the prophecies. As we spent some time in Isaiah this morning, Isaiah is the prophet of the Messiah. He's the one that had the most to say. But if you look at the antiphons, you look them up on Wikipedia, it's got a little footnote by each line. Almost every line is taken directly from a prophecy of Scripture. They're looking so deeply at Christ, and then each one, it's looking at the Old Testament, and this is what we're anticipating. And then it looks toward this is how it's fulfilled, and especially applying it, how is it fulfilled in our lives? It's fulfilled in the gospel and the desired impact it would have on our life. In the order, the order that they sang them in is a little bit different than the order in our hymnal. But first, O wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from one end to the other, mightily and sweetly ordering all things, come and teach us the way of prudence. Christ is wisdom. He's personified as wisdom in the book of Proverbs. God is the source of all wisdom, and Christ is the Word of God. He mightily and sweetly ordered all things. He is the Creator. He created all things, and now He comes to our heart to teach us. Not only does Christ save us, but He desires to reveal more of Himself and more of the Father to us. Christ Himself teaches us. Secondly, O Adonai, the leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the fire of the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come and redeem us with an outstretched arm. Adonai in the Old Testament is translated Lord, but capital L, small letter O-R-D. That is Lord is the sense of leader. He is the leader, the ruler of Israel. And yes, he was there with the law because the law pointed to man's need. The law pointed that man could not attain righteousness himself, and therefore Christ presents the way. Christ redeems with an outstretched arm. He redeems all sinners, all who will turn to him. But as we talked about this morning, Christ is coming back and he's going to redeem Israel still. He's going to draw the whole nation of Israel to himself and rule and reign in his kingdom. Third, O root of Jesse, standing as a sign among the people, before you kings will shut their mouths, to you the nations will make their prayer. Come and deliver us and delay no longer. We talked this morning, Christ is the king. Israel rejected him, so he did not take up his kingdom in his first advent, but he is coming back as the king of David's line. And he will be the king of kings. All nations, all rulers will shut their mouths and bow before him. And we, of course, look forward to his coming kingdom. We think, O come, Emmanuel. Well, he came, and he did what he came to do. He came and wrought salvation. But we can say, O come, Emmanuel, because he's coming back to rule and reign. Fourth, O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can shut. You shut and no one can open. Come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. He has the key of the kingdom. That's the sign of power and authority, that he will have power in that kingdom, but he has the key of death and of hell. He has the authority to save us from death and from hell, to give us life and heaven, but he also has the authority to send Satan and his demons and his followers to death and hell and shut them therein. O morning star, splendor of light eternal, and sun of righteousness, come and enlighten those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. The morning star, Jesus, is the light of the world. He brings light into darkness. He shows sin. He shows salvation. Here's a prayer we should utter today. Come and enlighten those who dwell in darkness. There's still so many around the world either who haven't heard the gospel or have heard but have rejected it. We can give eloquent speeches, we can learn apologetics and explain things to them, but without Christ working through the Holy Spirit, they will never come to the light. We must pray that he will shine his light on their hearts. Sixth, O King of the nations and their desire, the cornerstone making both one, come and save the human race which you fashioned from clay. Again, he is the King, creator of all. He will rule over all the earth. He's the desire of nations, and praise the Lord that he is, that he's not just the Messiah of the Jewish people. He's the ruler, creator of all nations, kingdoms, that even we as Gentiles have opportunity to come to him, to worship him, to know him as our Savior, and to be participants in his kingdom. It talks about making both one. The mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile united together, that there's no second-class citizens in God's kingdom, that we all are one in his body. Finally, O Emmanuel, our King and our lawgiver, the hope of the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord our God. O Emmanuel, God with us. He has come. He is with us. If you know him today as your Savior, he dwells within you as the Holy Spirit. He is the only hope and salvation for the world. These seven antiphons were sung or chanted for centuries, preparing hearts and minds for the Christmas season. Later on, they were put to meter, so they had more of a chant. That was originally in Latin. Then they became translated to English. So you had this original, it kind of got mixed up so it matched the meter, and then English translated again. So we have a lot of the same thoughts, but some of the words are different in the hymn we have today. Later, it was put to a tune, and actually the tune for a couple hundred years, the one who put it to the tune just said it was from a French missal. Later they found it was actually from a funeral march. But he realized that just that feeling of anticipation the music brought so matched these words. It endures as a great and somber hymn of preparation for Christ. But I want to ask us this evening, do we still anticipate Christ? Yes, he came to earth the first time. He has come. But as the Christmas season comes, do we still anticipate him working in a special way? Do we still take time to prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds to encounter Christ in a special way. Yes, we should be living with him all year long, and it's great to say that, but we know how life, we get busy and sometimes we're not as faithful as we should be. Do we anticipate him that we want to make this a reset and specially set time, set our lives aside to appreciate Christ? Do we anticipate him in situations of life? Do we say, yes, God's in charge, Christ's in charge, and that's fine, but then as it talks about in James, go and say, today we're going to go in such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Do we anticipate Christ working in our lives? Do we anticipate Christ working in our situations? He's our Redeemer. He's the creator of all things. We should be looking for him in each and every area of our lives. I love these seven things in the seven verses of the hymns, looking at the different names of Christ. Do we consider all that he is to us and the world? Yes, he is our Savior, Savior of the world first and foremost. But do we think of him, do we worship him as the creator? Do we worship him as and seek him as wisdom, as the leader, as the source of light in our lives? Do we worship him and look forward to him as the king? Are we so comfortable and content with this life that we're not anticipating him coming again? Or when we look for Christ, are we like the nation of Israel? They were looking forward to the Messiah, but it was just so he could solve their problems, so he could get rid of Rome, so he could bring them power. Is that how we anticipate Christ? That when things are going good, yeah, the resurrection, that's going to be fine. Then things get bad. Oh, I hope Jesus comes back now. I hope he solves my problems for me. I hope he deals with this situation. Yes, Christ saved us. Yes, he's going to come and set up his kingdom. That's for his glory and his honor and his power. Yes, it's going to be to our benefit to be part of his kingdom, but it's not to solve our problems. It is for his glory and honor. So each and every day, do we say, O come, Emmanuel? Do we anticipate that today could be the day, and it's not for my benefit, but it's for Christ's honor and Christ's glory? Do we anticipate him that through our lives he might get glory, and when he comes again, that the glory will be his? Let's pray together. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ has come, but we thank you, Lord, that he's coming again. We thank you for the so many ways of Scripture that he reveals himself, ways that impact each and every area of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would anticipate you. Pray that each one here does know you as Savior and has received the benefit of your first coming, but I pray that we would anticipate you in areas of our lives to work in us. Lord, I pray that we would anticipate your second coming to rule and reign, that we would desire your will, your honor, your glory in all things. We thank you for this Christmas season, and I pray that we would especially set time aside and dwell on these thoughts, Lord. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.